Bible and turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now, if you didn't bring your Bible, you can take one of those black pew Bibles there. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. It's going to be on page 890 if you want to follow along with me this morning. A friend of mine called me from Kentucky, and he was talking about his pastor had done a Bible study on one verse of Scripture for, I think he said about 6 months, just one verse. And I reminded him when I was his pastor that for 18 months I had one Scripture, and that is in Philippians 2:5, where we have the mind of Christ. And so it kind of reminded me of Wednesday night, our Bible study a few years ago. I would start every Wednesday night with Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. And so people would come in, some of them would come in, and automatically open up their Bible because they know that's where I'm going to start. Matthew 21, 13 talks about where Jesus had gone into the temple and he had drove out the money changers. And he says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And I told the church, the group that comes on Wednesday night, that that's our goal, is to be a house of prayer. And that's where I kind of, to me, coined the phrase that we can't be a house of prayer unless we're going to be a people of prayer. And so this year, I'm going to be preaching on prayer most every Sunday. Now, there's going to be some times I don't, so there won't be 52 sermons on prayer, but there will be a lot of sermons on prayer. I don't have a New Year's resolution either, but if I did, it would be to be more of a man of prayer. I want to be that person that loves to talk to God. And that's what our theme is. If you have a church calendar, we have those out in the foyer. It should say at the top of that, talking to God. That's the theme throughout this whole year, wanting to talk to the Father. We find Jesus coming before the people in Matthew chapter 5. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus sat down, people gathered around him, and he began to teach them. And he started off with the Beatitudes, blessed are, and he went through all of those. And then he gets into praying. And we find that on how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 5. He says, "Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. I assure you, they've got their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room or a closet, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for the example you set on how to pray, the lessons you gave. And Father, I pray that we might be a people of prayer, loving to talk to you. So please bless us. May we gain insight and may we be challenged today. And may your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. When we talk to each other or talk to God, correct words are extremely important. Jesus, several times, uses the word "if." If any man come after me, let him deny himself. And if you don't hate your mother, father, brother, sister, and so forth. And over throughout the scriptures, we find that word "if." If is an important word because it tells us that not everybody is going to respond to the message or to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is called a conditional phrase. Well, this morning I'm not looking at the word "if," but I want to look at a word that to me is also extremely important, and it's the word "whenever." We look at verse 5 for just a moment. Whenever you pray. Or we could drop down to verse 16. Whenever you fast. Or we could even back up a little bit earlier. where he says, whenever, in verse 2, whenever you give to the poor. And so the word whenever is so important for us as we're looking this morning. This morning, the word whenever, the word whenever to me means that there's an assumption that people who love God are going to spend some time in prayer. There's a lot of people that talk big, but are they really praying? That assumption could go on and say, well, whenever people come to worship God, we can assume there's going to be prayer. If we looked at our worship service, Phil and I try to evaluate it. And so we start off with the call to worship. I give kind of a greeting, and in that greeting we have a time of prayer. And then someone usually comes up to read scripture. This morning it was Clem, and he gives a prayer. And then someone comes up to take up the offering, and they give a prayer. I start off my sermon with prayer, asking God for help. We end off our worship service with prayer. There seems to be just a lot of prayer going on. We have Bible study starting at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, and I hope that the teachers are starting off with prayer. I don't know about you and your household, but in my household, I get up. Before I even get up, I say the Lord's Prayer while I'm still laying in bed. And then I get up, take my shower, get a cup of coffee, sit down, and immediately I start praying again. And then we get the kids up and we gather together and we have prayer before we eat. And so our lives are just kind of centered around prayer. There is an assumption. And Jesus says, whenever you pray. I think we could assume that people who decide to follow Jesus want to spend some time talking to him in prayer. We can kind of make an assumption again that people who have a need will be praying, God, I need your help. And we could go on and we could talk about people who get excited about what God is doing in their life, whether it be out looking at the stars out on our camp out, or whether we're looking at the rain falling down, or whatever it might be. But when we get excited about what God is doing, we just want to pray. People who like to read or listen and obey the words of Jesus, we can assume they're going to spend some time in prayer. Whenever you pray. I think we could assume that people who care for one another are going to spend some time in prayer. As we pray for each other, I've asked you over and over and over, get a church directory and pray for everyone. Come up with a prayer list and pray for your people, because we care about them. And Jesus kind of assumes whenever you pray, there is that assumption. People who want to pledge their allegiance to God are going to spend time in prayer. That's what prayer is, declaring our total dependence upon him. I believe that when the word whenever is used, that Jesus is saying, listen, if you're part of the kingdom of God, you will pray. If you're part of the kingdom of God, you will pray. And so prayer is so important for us, all of us, talking to God. And so I want to just make one point this morning. It's going to take me a long time to make that point, but just one point. If you have your bulletin, you can turn it over, you can see. The one thing I want to say is the focus of our prayer is God. Sometimes we have to evaluate our own life. And there have been times, maybe recently, maybe distant, but there have been times in my life that people come up and tell me a story. And when they tell me a story, I've got to tell one even better. And so people that are extremely close to me ask me, why do you do that? Why don't you just listen to their story? Why do you have to tell one even better? You think you've got problems? Let me tell you our problems. There's people like that. I get like that if I'm not careful. Have you been around people who like to take every single conversation and turn it into themselves? Now, to my knowledge, my sister has no plans on coming over here. To my knowledge, my sister won't turn on our webpage and listen to my sermon, so I can talk about my sister. I kid you not, everything I say to her, she turns it back into the story about her kids. I would say something about I fell down and skinned up my toe. And well, let me tell you about when my son fell down. Everything. And I'm just kind of, is there anything that doesn't point us back to your kids? Let's just talk about it. There's people who turn everything into themselves. And they are the center of the universe. Sometimes we call them the king or the queen. And you know, there's just things that... why does it always have to be centered on you? And that makes me think about prayer. God is the focus of our prayer. But so often I think that our prayers are focused on me. Now, some of that is good. God, please forgive me of my sins. But then after we say, forgive me, then we start saying, please give me. And then we have a list of gimmies. And we just, you know, why does our prayers around us? And so I like the songs that we sing as we sing about God. And it's all about Him, and we declare our dependence, our allegiance to Him. And so the focus of our prayer is not to be coming back to me, but the focus of our prayer is to be on God. Everything. So many times we're thankful for our salvation. Well, the purpose of our salvation is to get us to focus on God. Everything there. And so I want to look at that for just a moment. With that in mind, that's the one thing I want us to go away with this morning, is that the focus of our prayer is God. Now then, how do we get that focus? Well, I wanted to look at this for just a moment. As I look back to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, the first thing I want to tell you is that prayer can be abused. Prayer can be abused. There are people who can abuse anything. And so there's four ways that I find here in the scriptures that people abuse prayer. Now, there could be more, but there are just four quick things I want to. First of all, I want to say that prayer can be abused by the neglectors. There are people who neglect. And so Jesus says, whenever you pray, because there's an assumption, I think, on his part that because we want to follow God, we love God, we worship God, whatever, we're going to be praying. But there's some people who don't even think about it. They never think about prayer. They're too busy to spend that time in prayer. I need that extra 5 minutes of sleep, or I'm late already, I don't have time. And I tell people when we're praying that prayer needs to be focusing on God. And I will tell you that when I'm driving down the road, I talk to God. But that is not my prayer time. Because that's just kind of squeezing God into to a convenience. But there needs to be that isolated time when we talk to God. And so there's people who are too busy. There's people who don't believe in prayer. So why should I talk to God? He's not going to answer me anywhere. There's people who don't want to pray. Maybe they're angry at God. I don't want to talk to Him right now. I'm angry because whatever the excuse might be. And so there are people who I would call neglectors. They just don't spend the time in prayer. I'm not sure how much time we're supposed to spend in prayer, but sometimes it might be interesting just to keep track of how much time do I talk to God. The Lord's Prayer probably takes me about a minute or maybe 2 minutes on a slow day to say in the morning. When it's time to eat, it's hard to find a shorter prayer than me, okay? When it's time to eat, I'm wanting to get down to business, so I talk to God real quickly. How much time do we devote? So there are people who neglect. That's an abuse. The second one that we can find as far as people who are going to abuse prayer are, we call them the hypocrites. The hypocrites. And this is people who have no respect or no awe concerning God. They refer to Him as the man upstairs or some other slang phrase they want to use for the holy, awesome God. Maybe they want to use some kind of euphemism or whatever, but they have no respect for God. It's people who are irreverent in approaching God. I think prayer, every once in a while, you know, I may make a comment, and I normally feel guilty after I do, about, you know, God, especially when I'm playing dominoes with Phil. God, please help me beat him again. And you know, that's disrespectful in a prayer. And I do, I feel guilty. I get over it real quick if I do win. But we need that respect when we're talking to God. Whether it be respect in our appearance. We had our church camp out. And so we're all getting together Thursday night. And we're going to have hot dogs. And so we have a campfire and we're all gathering together. And they said, okay, Pastor, come and pray for us. And so I had to take off my hat. I just feel like when I'm talking to God, I take off my hat. Now, does that mean you can't wear a hat? I don't know. Let me tell you, I'm confused on that issue. If you go to the Jewish Messianic synagogue down the street here, they put their hats on when they pray. I don't know which is right and which is wrong, and I'm not going to take a stand for a blanket. I can only take a stand for me, and that is, I just think it's disrespectful. And so the hypocrites come to pray, people who are irreverent in they're doing this. Sometimes they misuse God's holy name, or sometimes they even start making demands upon God. I've been in a prayer circle where people start demanding, God, you said if we do this, then we're demanding that you do this in return. And I'm just kind of, wow. When we think about the awesomeness of God, the holiness of God, and we start making demands upon him, I get extremely uncomfortable. And so there are people who abuse prayer, whether they're neglectors or whether they're the hypocrites. There's also a third way that people can abuse prayer, and that is by the showman. The showman. These are people who want to be seen. It's people who seek popularity instead of seeking God. I want you to be impressed with my prayer. And so I use the proper name, Yahweh, or I use the proper whatever, and maybe I get down on my knees or whatever it might be. And all of those, there's nothing wrong with that, but there's people who want to do it for show. The religious people in Jesus' time often would choose the place where the most people are, and that's where they would stand to say their prayers. Instead of going off up in the desert on top of a mountain and praying, they would look, well, where is the biggest crowd? Because I want people to see that I talk to God. And so they were the showmen. They're looking out for that attention. And so they wanted people to see them. People believe that if they prayed loud enough, that God would hear them. And so they would stand somewhere where there's a crowd of people, and they would lift up their head and with a loud voice and start talking to God and use maybe holy language or whatever it might be. But you know, God can hear us when we whisper. God can hear us when we're praying in our mind. And so there's these showmen who like to let people see them. And then there's also people who believe in long prayers. There was a Jewish rabbi by the name of Rabbi Levi. And Levi would teach the people, whoever is long in prayer is heard. And so they would just have these long going on and on and on and on and on in prayer. And then the fourth abuse of prayer is by the critics. People who don't want to be forced into prayer. Let's take it out of schools because I don't want my kids to be forced to pray. It's people who condemn the title or the recipient of our prayers. I don't want to call him Father. He's not my Father. Or people who criticize it because they don't want you to pray in public. You know, sometimes when we gather together as a group, every once in a while, every Sunday, whatever, we go out to eat. And sometimes if we get there about the same time, then we have a prayer. And sometimes people are uncomfortable with that. We've been criticized because we pray in public and you're doing it just for show or whatever the case may be. There's people who criticize it. And so I just want to say that there's prayer is talking to God. And it's such an awesome thing to be able to talk to the creator of the universe. But in spite of that, there's still people who are going to abuse it. So those four quick abuses. And Jesus addresses these. Whenever you pray, that's making sure that we don't neglect it. And then he goes on and says about doing it in the synagogues and on the streets. Don't be like these people, but instead go into your closet or a private room and pray. And then he goes on and says, hey, don't babble like these other people are doing. And then he didn't mention the critics, but there were people who were going to criticize him because of whatever. So these are the different abuses that we can find here. But when we focus our prayer upon God, the one thing that we need to keep in mind is that prayer should be continuous. One of the verses I like to memorize because of it's easy is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Just three simple words. You can memorize scriptures. We went up to our church camp out, and four of us, Audrey and I, were partners playing horseshoes, and the other team, wanting to be inspired, every time they started to throw a horseshoe, would quote a scripture. And they said, well, what's another scripture? Well, the easiest one to memorize is Jesus wept. If you ever watched the Waltons, they had to go before some evangelist sometime, and every time they would quote a scripture, they would get a prize. And so that was the first one. Jesus wept. Well, if you're looking for a short verse to memorize, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, three simple words, pray without ceasing. And so our prayer is to be continuous, always talking to God. The disciples here, though, were taught to go into Jesus was teaching them here in Matthew, that they should go into their closet, and there they would pray, and to pray in secret. And this is true. It is a way to pray. But my question when I read this, being what I call a semi-literalist, I like to take things literally. If Jesus said it, then that's what he meant. Well, I have to ask myself the question, do we take this literally about the only place that we can pray is in the closet by ourselves? And I want to say, no, that's not the only way. It is a way, it is a good way, but there's other ways that we can pray. In Luke chapter 10, verse 21, Jesus had sent out 70 people who were following him. And he says, go out and preach and prepare the way. Tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so these 70 people came back. They began to report to Jesus how even the demons had to answer to them. And it was just a great revival meeting. And in that, Jesus prayed a public prayer. Now then, if he tells us the only way to pray is in a closet, then you would think that he would set the example on the only way that he would pray was in a closet. And it's not true. In Luke 10:21, he prayed a public prayer. In Luke chapter 11, the disciples saw something in the life of Jesus that was different. And so they came to him and they said, Master, teach us how to pray. Now then, I've been a teacher, I've been a student, I've been a little bit of everything. But if Jesus were to be here and I wanted to learn something, wow, there's a lot of things I would love to ask him. Could you teach me how to raise people from the dead? Would you teach me how to heal people, or how to give sight to the blind people, or teach me these things? But no, the disciples came and said, Master, teach us how to pray. Now, to my knowledge, as I've read through the scriptures, that's the only time they ask him to teach them anything. Teach us how to pray, because there's something about it. And so Jesus goes in Luke chapter 11 and teaches them what we would call the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. And Jesus prayed in a public way. We could go on in Luke chapter 11. John chapter 11, Jesus got a word that his friend Lazarus was sick, and they wanted him to come and to heal him. And Jesus took his time, and by the time he got there, Lazarus had died. And then Jesus went there, and Jesus prayed a public prayer, raising Lazarus from the dead. And so I'm back again to Jesus here in Matthew says, when you pray, go into the closet and pray. Is that the only way that we can pray? And there's some people who want to say, yes, the only way we can pray is between you and God in some type of closet. Wait a minute. Following the example of Jesus, we can have public prayers. John chapter 12, verse 28, Jesus predicted the crucifixion that was going to be taking place within the next few days. And in that, he wound up with a public prayer. We can pray in a public setting. John chapter 17 is what I call the real Lord's Prayer, where he prayed to the Father, he prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for us. And we believe that to be a public. Now, it doesn't say he was in a closet, doesn't say where he was, but we believe it to be a public prayer that he gave, praying for the people. As Jesus hung on the cross, he prayed three public prayers. So it's not just something in the closet. Yes, he did teach us that. Yes, we need to practice that private prayer. But yes, we can have a public prayer. You can go to the restaurant and you can pray. But the key, the whole key to that whole thing, and I had a discussion with someone over these. The key to the whole thing is these simple words. It says, to be seen by people. If you're going to go to a football game and you want to start off with prayer, I am all in favor of that. But if you're only doing it to be seen by people, you've missed the whole mark. You want to go to a restaurant and you just want to bow your head and pray? Great. You want to say a prayer for the group that's together? Is it to be seen or is it to talk to the Father? It all comes down to our motivation. Prayer is to be continuous. Whether we're in the closet, whether we're in public, or whatever it might be, we're to pray without ceasing. Jesus gave us illustrations about his public prayer life. If we went over to Stephen, the first martyr, he gave a public prayer as he said, Father, don't lay this sin upon them. And so there was a public prayer there. It wasn't in the closet. We could go on to Acts chapter 1, verse 14, as Clem read that this morning. There was a group of people, probably about 120 of them, that had gathered together and had committed their times to be continually in prayer. Public praying. And so I just want to say that here in Matthew chapter 6, he does say to go into the closet. Don't pray in front of people if your motivation is to be seen by them. And so we always have to go back to, why are you doing this? It's not about us. It's not focusing our attention upon us, but prayer focuses on God. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And his example and what he taught him was we should pray early in the morning. It says Jesus got up early in the morning, went off to a solitude place. He prayed early in the morning and he prayed by himself. But he also had public prayers. And we also find it later in Jesus' ministry. He prayed late at night. In fact, there were times he would pray all night long. I don't know if you've ever been part of a prayer vigil where it's a 24-hour prayer time. But it's important as we spend time in prayer all day. We were to pray in times of fasting. He says here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, when you fast. Well, when you fast, the purpose isn't just to do without food. What does that do? But it's a time that we spend that time in prayer, talking to the Father. When we have to make major decisions, Jesus was going to pick out 12 people. There were a lot of people following him. But he's going to pick out 12 special ones that we call apostles. Jesus spent the night in prayer because it was an important decision. When you have to make an important decision, spend the time in prayer. I believe Jesus prayed during the meals. He prayed before death. He prayed during stressful times. And I think he prayed during excitement. So whenever it is, spend your life in prayer. Be a person of prayer. Well, as I look to this, you know, I see there's things we need to notice. One is that prayer can be abused by good people, by bad people. It can be abused. But it's also to be continuous as we pray to the Father without ceasing. But the last thing is our prayers should be done properly. There's a right way to do this, our proper way. And I can't say this is exactly how you ought to do it because prayers are different. But our prayer, the purpose of our prayer is to bring glory and honor to the Father. And so we need to have a time of declaring our relationship to him as he taught us to pray. He goes on, says, when you pray, says, our Father, which art in heaven. And so there's declaring a relationship with God. He is our Father. This implies that we're part of God's family. And I like the word, there's a plurality, our Father. So it's not just me, but it's us together in teaching us how to pray, declaring that relationship. I remember, I think it was Jimmy Swaggart, got up one day and was saying something about if Mother Teresa is not a born-again believer, then God won't hear her prayers. And the media just went berserk on that. God won't hear Mother Teresa's prayers. And you know, it seems like about 90% of the world just thinks that Mother Teresa was just the greatest thing that's ever been. And she was a great woman. But the whole purpose of Jimmy's statement was not a condemnation of Mother Teresa or to exalt her for what all she did, but it was to make the statement that in order for God to hear our prayers, there has to be that relationship. How can we call Him Father if we haven't been adopted into His family? And so our prayer, that proper thing, is to address Him, whether we say, "Our Father which art in heaven," or often I will say, "Heavenly Father," and sometimes I say, "Hey, Dad," or whatever. You know, we just want to declare that relationship. God, You are my God and my Father. The second thing in that proper addressing God is that I believe there needs to be a belief that God is present. He's right here. Whether we're in our home praying, He's right there with you. Or whether we're climbing a mountain and we're up on top up there and we're looking down on everything, that God is in that mountain. Or maybe as we're walking down the valley looking for rocks or whatever in the creek bed, God is right there with us. Or if we're out on the lake fishing, whatever, God is right there on the water with us. Or when we go to the grocery store and we bumping into people, God is right there with us. Or even when we're in the closet by ourselves. And so part of our prayer is knowing that God is there. He's here with us. And so as we address Him as our Father, which art in heaven, He is in heaven, but He's right here. And the best thing I can say is that He's right here. He's in my life. We use the phrase "in my heart." Literally, the heart's just an organ that pumps the blood. But God is in my life. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is here. And so we're learning how to pray, being that people of prayer. Third thing about the properly addressing God is that that God sees and knows our needs before we ask Him. He knows what's going on. We don't have to inform Him. You know, so often in our life, sometimes I tell people, you just like to hear your voice, don't you? You know, we're driving down the road and we like to tell people what we see. And often I'll say, I've got two eyes. I can see that myself. When we're talking to God, God knows what's going on. We don't have to say, God, you know, I've got a pain in my back here. God knows that. But we can ask Him, God, could You heal that pain? And so in our addressing God properly, He knows our needs. And that's what He says here. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask. Now, it doesn't mean we can't ask Him, but we don't have to go into great detail. He knows what's going on. We don't need to inform Him. We don't need to remind Him. And we definitely don't demand from Him. Our prayer is just a submission to God. God, Thy will be done. And there's no better prayer than that. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, I thank You that we can call You Father, that we do have that relationship with You. We've been adopted into Your family. Our sins have been forgiven, and that Your Spirit dwells within our lives. And we just thank You and want to say that we love You. We are totally dependent upon You. And more than anything in this world, we want Your will to be done. So please, may this be a house of prayer, and may we be a people of prayer as we come and approach You. In Jesus Christ's wonderful name, we pray. Amen.